songs of praise and worship and petitioning Him in prayer, remembering His Son, and we have the opportunity, have had the opportunity to give to Him. Such a wonderful thing to be here, an honor, really. And if you are visiting with us this morning, you enjoy this privilege with us. You enjoy this great honor with us. So thank you for being here to do that. We're living in a world that the Bible says lies under the sway of the wicked one. Because of that, we are constantly subjected to deceit, confusion, global strife, and chaos. You see it all the time. You don't really even have to watch the news, but if you do watch the news, you really see it. It's all over. But Christians are citizens of an everlasting kingdom, an enduring kingdom. And though dark the times may be, we have the great privilege of looking to our invisible King, who is nonetheless present with us, an all-powerful and all-knowing, and who helps us through any time. And His kingdom, as we just sang, will stand forever and ever, no matter how it be assailed by Satan and his forces, by troubled times, by deception, by violence, whatever it might be. We are assured that the kingdom will stand. In the times that we're living in right now, it occurs to me that we're not at as good of an advantage, I might say, as we might have been had the COVID pandemic occurred just a little bit closer to the Spanish flu pandemic in human history. Because, I say that, because if there were people who were faithful Christians who lived through the Spanish flu pandemic and were alive today, we could have some great conversations, right? If they remained faithful through that time, and many did, and they endured it, we could talk to them about, well, how did you endure it? What was your mindset? What were some of the things you learned through it? And we don't have anybody that we can talk to about that. And we don't have any faithful Christians that we can talk to about how was it when you entered into the Great War, World War I, the war to end all wars, and it was supposed to usher in this time of peace for all of humanity, and instead it ushered in a time of horrible immorality and a crash of the world of economy and the Great Depression. And how did you deal with all of that? How did you endure? And there's no faithful Christian who could take our hands today and say to us, this is what it was like, and this is what we did, and this is what Christ did for us. But I do know this. The kingdom of heaven endured all of that and more in human history, much worse than we're seeing today, much worse than we're seeing today on every front. Whether you talk about the pandemic that was then compared to the one that is now, it doesn't even compare. About 5 million people have died from COVID. About 50 million people died from the Spanish flu. Okay? It's not even World War I, World War II. I know there's something going on over there in Russia and Ukraine right now, and it may get really big, but it's not now in comparison to those things. But this I know, that the kingdom of heaven stood, and those who are in the kingdom stood and stand still in a heavenly realm. What we're dealing with in times like this, in times like these, are devilish deceptions causing chaos all around us. It's how the devil works. Satan is a liar. Jesus said of the devil, he is a liar and the father of it. Eve's confusion in the garden was due directly to the fact that she believed the devil's lies. A lot of confusion, a lot of sin results today because people believe the devil's lies about any number of things, whether they're facts of history, the truth about health concerns, but mainly the truth about God's Word in the Scripture. The devil tells a bunch of lies and people believe it, and there's confusion and there is chaos. I might say to you that because Satan is the father of lies, he is also the god of chaos. The kind of chaotic state that we find our world in today. The world is in confusion and chaos to a degree that I don't recall in my lifetime, but it certainly has been something that's happened before. Satan is the original anarchist. The word anarchy refers to a state of disorder due to the absence or the non-recognition of authority. That's what we've got in the world today. In our culture, we have the absence or the non-recognition of authority. In the religious world, we have the absence or the non-recognition of authority. In the international political world, we have the absence and non-recognition of authority. And the chaos that has ensued then is directly the work of Satan himself. I might say to you that confusion, which results from Satan's deceit, is a companion of every evil thing. If the devil can get us confused and keep us confused, a lot of evil will follow. In James chapter 3 and verse 16, where there's envy and self-seeking, confusion and every evil thing will be there. You can count on it. God is not the author of confusion and chaos. He is the author of peace. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. He is not the author of confusion in churches, and he's not the author of confusion on social media, and he's not the author of confusion in national and international politics or in any other sphere of life. Satan is. Our theme this year is running with endurance, looking unto Jesus. And I might say that this particular lesson this morning fits right in to that theme, because confusion and chaos are enemies of endurance. It makes our direction uncertain. Confusion and chaos do. Makes our direction uncertain. I've known of situations, Coach Merle could probably tell us about several. I've seen some actually happen in important running events that were being telecast on television. And so you have some big marathon or something like that, and somebody in the middle of the marathon takes the wrong turn. There was one occasion a few years ago where somebody purposely said, go this way, and it was not the way they were supposed to run. And so because of that deceit, confusion ensued, and that person ran with endurance, but they were running the wrong race. How about that? And that's what Satan tries to do to us. He tries to get us off course, confuse the way of the course, not allow us to run with endurance because we're not even on the right track. Through Christ, we have order and consistency and truth and unity. Christ in Him made everything make sense. Where nothing makes sense if you look at the world today because Satan has such great influence on it. But if you look at Christ, you'll see everything makes sense. Everything comes together in Him. Think about what Paul writes in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16 when he says that by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Everything comes together in Christ. Everything consists, if you will, in Christ. The ESV says, hold together in Christ. And that is true whether you're thinking about world political powers, all of which were created by Christ, the principalities and powers, both in heaven and on earth. all made by Christ, all made for Him, through Him, and by Him. It was God's plan and purpose that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in Him. The ESV says He unites all things. That's Ephesians 1 and verse 10. All things come together in Christ. All things make sense in Christ. And so what am I saying? I'm saying if you look at world history, if we leave Christ out of the equation and we look at world history and we look at even that the times that we are living in now, nothing makes sense. What, you know, what in the world is going on? You don't know how many times I ask myself that question. You know, you look at some news item or something that some misinformed person posts on social media or whatever it is, and what in the world is going on? There is idiocy and confusion on top of chaos and more idiocy. Even common sense. I mean, there was a time when I thought there was such a thing as common sense among humanity. I don't know where it is anymore. And it's just a big pile of nonsense. And it's no wonder people wonder what the meaning of life is, what the world is all coming to and what it's all been about. Without Christ, none of that, none of it makes sense. But in Christ, whom God sent into this world in the fullness of times, to bring everything together in Him, that the existence of this world is all about Jesus, the King. That your existence and your life has meaning because Christ died so that you might live forever with Him. This is His eternal purpose for you. Thought out before time began, before the first sin was committed, before the devil ever spoke the first temptation, before any tragedy ever occurred to anyone, God had a purpose in Christ. And it all comes together and it all makes sense if you're in Christ. He is the answer. He is the sense of it all. This morning, we need to recognize Him as the invisible King of an enduring kingdom, in which everything has meaning. In 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17, Paul extols the majesty of our King. To the King eternal, he says, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. The eternal, immortal, invisible King. When we look at this physical world, we don't see sense, we don't see order, we don't see authority, we don't see majesty. But when we look through the eyes of faith to Him who is invisible, when we're looking to Jesus, it makes sense and we can endure. I'm reminded of Moses when he was driven out of Egypt. Hebrews 11 and 27 says, he endured as seeing Him who is invisible. He did not fear the wrath of the king. He endured as seeing Him by faith. We see that which is unseen. Faith is, in fact, the substance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. We see Jesus through the eye of faith. We look to Him. And so Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon His shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from the time forward even forever. The zeal of the Lord our host will perform this. And so if we look at this world, we don't see justice. We don't see God's will prevailing. But when we look to Jesus our King, we know that it will ultimately. And we know that in his kingdom it does now. And that he will establish justice and judgment. Gabriel told Mary in Luke chapter 1 and verse 32 about her son to come, Jesus, that he will be great and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom, there will be no end. There will be no end. And Daniel sees one like the Son of Man coming to the Ancient of Days in Daniel chapter 7 and verse 14. And to him was given dominion and authority and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. This is the kingdom of Christ. The kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And the psalmist says, your dominion endures forever throughout all generations. And so how do we, as people of faith, relate what we believe about Christ and everything coming together in him, and him being this exalted king who rules over all of the kingdoms and who will rule forever and ever? How do we align that with what we see in the world today? And how does that help us endure what we are experiencing in the world today? The kingdoms of this world are subsumed by the kingdom of God. The word subsumed means to include or place within something that is larger or more comprehensive. So the kingdoms of this world are subsumed. They are placed within something much, much bigger than they are, and it is the kingdom of Christ. Daniel, in interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel chapter 2, helps us understand this truth. Daniel 2 and verse 44, after he told the king about this image, you know, with the head of gold and the arms of silver and on down with the brass and the iron and the iron mixed with miry clay. And each one of those sections of that image represented another kingdom. And then there's this stone cut without hands that comes and just blows all of that up, so to speak, and grows into a mountain. And Daniel explains in Daniel 2 and verse 44 that in the days of these kings, those last kings, the Roman kings, in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all the kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. And inasmuch as you saw the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hands, and it broke in pieces the iron and the bronze and the clay and the silver and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, its interpretation is sure, and indeed that is what has happened. And the angel may proclaim and did proclaim in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15, as the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, the loud voice in heaven says that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's what it means for the kingdoms of men to be subsumed into the kingdom of Christ. And so right now here this morning, we have members of our kingdom who are in Ukraine. They are my fellow citizens. And we have members of my kingdom who are in Russia. And they are equally my fellow citizens. because Russia and Ukraine and the United States and any other country that you want to name are not really kingdoms in and of themselves. They're all consumed in the kingdom of Christ. My friend Doy Moyer wrote something this last week that I thought was very insightful, and I'd like to share it with you. Doy's held a meeting here. And probably many of you have seen this. I sent him a note, and I said, "Brother, you've written a lot of things that have helped a lot of people. This particular thing that you've put on social media has received more shares than any other thing, any other gospel preacher I have ever seen that's been written." At the time I wrote him that, it received 327 shares. You know, if you're on social media, you know that's pretty significant. Here's what he said. "There are Christians in Ukraine. There are Christians in Russia. These brethren are not at war with one another. They are not enemies. They are held together by a common faith, a common love, a common Savior. They share in the same blessings in Christ. And I might add, they are citizens of the same kingdom. There are Christians in America who love and pray for their brethren in Ukraine and in Russia. They also love their brethren in Christ and everywhere else in the world where Christians have to deal with political oppression. That includes America. Christians are part of a kingdom that knows no earthly boundaries. See, the kingdoms of this world, we're part of a kingdom that knows no earthly boundaries. A kingdom to which all nations stream, from whom disputes are not settled by carnal warfare. For as Isaiah wrote, Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4, He will settle disputes among the nations and provide arbitration for many people. They will beat their swords into plows and their spears into pruning knives. Nation will not take up sword against nation, and they will never again train for war." To add to what Doy wrote, I might say that there are Christians in Ukraine praying for Christians in Russia and praying for Christians in America. Because they know that their trials and temptations and what they have to endure is not really any more than what we do. And that Satan is much more likely in the present climate to get a hold of one of us with what we're facing in this carnal culture of ours. Much more likely to get a hold of one of us than he is to get a hold of one of them who are turning to him in faith because that's all they have to turn to. And let me tell you how he's going to do that and how he is doing it even over there. There's a country that's next door to Ukraine where there are a good number of Christians. And our friend Gardner Hall is going to be here in a meeting in a little while. Wrote some things about what's going on there. He had received a report from a preacher in this neighboring country to Ukraine that was describing a situation that was going on in the church there. Brother Gardner doesn't name the preacher's name or the country or the church. But he did write this. And here's what that preacher's report said. Doesn't name the brother, he calls him Brother A. Okay, so. "Today before the start of the worship meeting," this is I think last Sunday, "today before the start of the worship meeting, Brother A, who had been a member for about 20 years, announced that he had decided to cut himself off from the rest of the church. He said he still believed in Jesus and that his faith continued being fundamental, the fundamental something that we all still had in common. Nevertheless, he could not continue to worship with us because of the difference in our perspectives on what is going on between Ukraine and Russia. Brother A confessed that he was ready to shoot or hang people like me as those who are a threat to the survival of his motherland, the Soviet Union. He also said he could not decide who exactly I am in his eyes, a dangerous traitor of the motherland or a fool who does not understand obvious things. Now I need to add that Brother A is a very kind person by heart. He is always ready to help and to do what is right no matter what. So what strikes me most of all of this is that a person such as him can be turned into a mass murderer by political propaganda. And you don't think that's happening to us? I was aware, became aware this morning by something that my wife shared with me from a brother in Christ on social media that indicates it's exactly happening. If that brother can be so filled with such anger, even violent anger, by nationalist propaganda, do we think that we're immune to it? That we have been immune to it in our country? The preventive medicine to avoid this problem is to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It is to realize, as Jesus told Pilate, that my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight that I would not be delivered to the Jews. My kingdom is not from here. May I leave you with three thoughts this morning, please? Citizens of Christ's kingdom, walk worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory. Walk worthy of God. You are a citizen of His kingdom. Do not let Satan drag you down into the nonsense and the chaos of this world, which Satan has created. Endure tribulations. Yes, Ukraine is enduring tribulation. Yes, we are enduring tribulation, not near to that extent, but in some ways more so, perhaps. Whatever it is, endure tribulations. Paul tells the Thessalonians that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. God never, you know, the old song, I never promised you a rose garden. God's promised us an eternity in heaven and a tree of life and a river of water of life and a street of gold and mainly His presence and the presence of His Son. But on the road there will be thorns and trials and tribulations, some of which we will yet face, some of which we could not imagine. That they will be ours to burden. And what God wants you to do is to endure it as someone to be counted worthy of His kingdom. And lastly, as the writer of the Hebrew letter says, since we are receiving a kingdom, please look at this, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Whatever happens in the world, whichever nation rises or falls, whatever happens to the United States of America, Ukraine, Russia, China, and you name every other country there is, whatever happens today, tomorrow, and into the future, if there is one, however they may be shaken, whichever one of them may fall or rise, know this, that we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Let us have grace. Let's live with grace. Let's show people what grace is. Let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and fear. Let's do that. Much more could be said. And I know I spoke in broad terms this morning. I'm not trying to wade into the details of all of what's going on. I don't know about the details of what's going on. I don't pretend to. But I know I'm a citizen of a kingdom, and I want you to know that too. And in these difficult times, hold on to that. Live that. Be a citizen of the King. Serve Him with grace, with fear, and with reverence. If you're not a part of the kingdom this morning, what are you waiting for? The world is crazy. The world is chaos. Christ is offering you something solid, something that's going to stand, something you can be a part of now and in eternity, something that brings glorious blessings. Become a citizen of the kingdom. Name the name of Jesus. Turn away from a life of sin and what's in the world, and turn to Christ and be baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Please come while we stand and while we sing.